Good morning, Holly Creek. This is Wanderings today. It's Tuesday, and this is Sil Stenman with
Sandy Washington.
And I must tell you before we get going too far, Sandy is really sitting here, but her voice is a little sparse today. So if you don't hear, you know she hasn't walked out. She's still here. And it's so nice to welcome you, Rick. This is Rick Fernandez with us, you see in the on the screen. Rick, we caught you in one of your less busy moments, but you're a busy guy. It's so nice to welcome you to Holly Creek. It's not been that long, has it?
No, it hasn't, but thank you for welcoming me. I'm very happy to be here.
All the way from Iowa.
Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, oh yeah.
So have you lived there most of your life?
Yeah, I lived there all up until, you know, about 6 months ago, actually. So Des Moines for 18 years, Ames for a year, and then Iowa City for 4 years, followed by a year and a half back in Des Moines. And now
you could be a tour guide in
Iowa. I could be, yeah.
Well, we're glad that April was able to draw you away.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm happy she did, too.
Oh, good. It's nice to hear that you're happy here. We're happy to have you here. And you're just beginning, and you're just discovering a little bit about the people here and how they react to some of the things you have and how you react to us. So it's all good. Tell us about your family.
My dad is a lawyer. My mom is a physician assistant. And my sister, I'm not remembering the title of her job, but I know she's basically a social worker.
Uh-huh.
Works in that field. And she's up in Alaska with her husband, who is a mechanic in the military, and she is expecting her first baby here in late December, early January.
So it will be Uncle Rick.
Uncle Rick, yeah.
Oh, pretty soon.
Pretty
January,
soon.
February. Oh, yeah, that's coming around. There's another member of your personal family.
What?
It's not a person.
Oh, my dog?
Your dog.
Oh, yeah. I was a little thrown off guard. No, I love my dog. I have a 3.5-year-old German short hair. Her name is Bambi, and she just really gets me moving, gets me out and about.
Have you had her since a puppy?
I have had her since a puppy, so, you know, I've got to experience what it's like to raise a puppy. And I'll admit, I think maybe just adopting like a 2-year-old dog might be easier in the future, but I'm happy I have that experience now under my belt. Feel like I've gained some patience, some understanding in myself, too, just raising her. But, you know, all fun.
You were telling us, showing us how tall she is. She's pretty big, but you got her as a little tiny puppy.
Oh, yeah. Her legs just started spurting out of nowhere. And, you know, now she's just
like
a really
overnight
tall lady. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's glad that you have her, and you don't live far from here, so.
I do not, no, just right across the street. Every now and then, I'll take that trail right behind Holly Creek. I'm blanking on the name of it, but, yeah, me and her will walk up that. She really likes seeing all the ducks in that stream, so.
And a lot of other dogs.
And a lot of other
bicycles
dogs, yeah.
Bicycles come by there, so. Mm. Yeah, that's a wonderful walk. What is that called?
I want to say, I know. I'm thinking of a trail name in Iowa.
Well, we'll think of it maybe before the end of the program. But the residents here are very familiar with that walk, which is nice. Well, so you graduated recently with a degree, and what was the title of your?
I graduated in a degree with therapeutic recreation.
And so you wanted to find out what you can do with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you apply?
Originally, just trying to figure out what I could do with the major, a lot of those questions were answered just through volunteer hours, because we were required to have, I want to say, 300 volunteer hours to graduate. So with that, we had to work in areas that, you know, our major would take us. So, you know, I went to a lot of kind of sporting programs for children with intellectual or physical disabilities. I did a lot of work with Special Olympics, but a majority of where I got my volunteer hours were from different retirement communities, but I mainly worked with the Alzheimer's and dementia area of those retirement communities, so I don't know. I kind of found my calling doing those volunteer hours.
Well, you've seen everything as far as disabilities and then mental disabilities to some degree, and so how do you judge where you fit in best? Are you drawn to one or the other, or is it?
I don't know. Well, with my internship, specifically with adults with intellectual and physical disabilities, you know, just the work I did there, I obviously could see in the clients' faces, you know, how beneficial it was and how happy
it made
them.
That's a good way to find, yeah.
And, you know, just getting to know them each and every day for 3.5 months or whatever my internship length was. You know, you really see, you know, all the benefit from the job and how happy you make all of them, but it was just a lot of mentally taxing work, I would say.
I guess
just,
it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one after another.
One after another, yeah.
So then you worked with children. Now, this, you had to do an internship. Is that like a semester?
Yeah, that was what I did with Link Associates with the adults, but when I worked with the children, that was just strictly to get volunteer hours to help, you know, qualify to do my internship.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you do with the children?
So one of my teachers actually, well, professors actually, she was kind of hosting this volunteer hour thing where we would get a ton of children, probably ages 5 to 14, 15, who all had varying levels of mental or physical disabilities, and we'd take them to this big rec center in Iowa City. And basically me and a few other classmates would kind of act like coaches, and, you know, we'd have 3 different sessions throughout the year, you know, fall, spring, and summer. So fall, we mainly focused on football, and then spring, we kind of did more basketball and soccer. But yeah, we'd break it up into different classes. So, I don't know, we'd meet twice a week for 3 weeks or whatever. So first class, you know, just meeting everyone, learning how to pass the ball, learning rules about basketball. Week two, you know, maybe we start shooting a little bit more, figuring out what shots work best for which players. And, you know, week 3 and 4, maybe we start actually scrimmaging with each other. But we just make it really inclusive. You know, we had varying levels of hoops, varying sizes of balls, and just the main goal was to make sure, if, you know, those children who probably couldn't play those normal sports with the peers in their class, you know, they still had an opportunity to be able to get that competition out of them.
Now, did you work as a team? Did you have another adult?
We had one. I mean, you know, we technically all were adults, being college kids, but we had one professor there just all the time, just to help, you know, make things go smoother.
Yeah, I was thinking of other college students, because I know kids would relate to you really well. Mm. They like the big people.
Oh, yeah.
Who are not too old.
Yeah.
At that point. But tell us about the Olympics. You did a Winter Olympics.
Yeah, the Special Olympics Winter Games. That was really fun. It was up in kind of like northeastern Iowa. And, yeah, it was just basically my whole major, anyone who needed volunteer hours, so all the therapeutic recreation people and then all the sports marketing people mainly volunteered for this. So a big group of us went up to a little ski area there, met up with all of our Special Olympic athletes. We all kind of got paired with one of them. But on the first day, it was fun. They told us we can just rent out skis, rent out snowboards, and just, and you know, enjoy the snow. So I paired up with this one, I want to say like 38-year-old guy with Down syndrome. And, you know, they told me, hang out with him, you know, help him ski, whatever he needs, you know, just be there for him. And, you know, I kind of went in there feeling a little cocky of myself, thinking, well, you know, I used to ski in Colorado. I'm going to be great at this. Maybe I'll have to wait up for him. But totally blown away. This man would just see a black diamond, just, you know, French fry it the whole way down, no fear of anything. And then here I am kind of carving down, taking my time. And then, you know, he went on to tell me, oh, yeah, I used to win Special Olympics Winter Games a lot. And also, I do the Special Olympics summer, and I do weightlifting, so I can actually squat like 480 pounds. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So the coolest part about it was just, you know, really learning about those athletes and just kind of figuring out how much they have accomplished, even with their disabilities. Very inspiring.
Well, and you like the medal presentation.
Oh, yeah, and the medaling is just the best part because, you know, all the athletes range in ages, so they can be like kids to full-on adults, but just the joy in their faces and how proud they are of themselves whenever they do get up on that podium and get a medal on their neck just makes it all
thrill.
Worth it.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful to see. We recently watched the Special Olympics here from Paris.
Oh,
and,
yeah, because they have the big games going.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they some of them sit down playing volleyball. And it's just the thing. And I think the most impressive that I remember was the archery.
I don't think I witnessed that one. But
there were two people that got it right in the bullseye with one arm.
Dang.
I just was amazed. So,
well, I remember I was watching one event, and I honestly, I felt bad for the guy. It was swimming. I don't remember the distance, but there was this Asian guy with no arms, but, you know, he was leading the race. He was going. And then just an opponent to the left of him, you know, was coming down to neck
and neck.
At
the very end.
And he just was able to, you know, stick his arm out. But,
oh.
You know, just still impressive to see that guy with no arms be able
How
to get
on
second.
Earth do you ever do that?
It just blows my mind, but, you know, the ability of the human being.
Yeah, they had perseverance and just built the muscles up that they had.
Mm.
It's just wonderful. So, how did April find you?
April found me because I was scrolling through jobs on Indeed. You know, I was kind of at the very end of my internship working with adults with physical and mental disabilities. And, you know, through that time, it was, you know, I learned a lot, you know, to help me professionally and everything, but I just really realized that population was a little too much for me, a little too overwhelming. So I thought I really did enjoy working with, you know, my senior population. So I started applying to jobs like that. I will say I was, you know, 24 going into 25, and I was still at my mom's place. I was getting a little tired of it, so I knew I wanted to leave the state. I've always loved Colorado. I've been coming to Colorado for vacations for the last 7 to 8 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I love hiking, so just getting out here with friends is always fun. So I thought, you know what? I want to live in Colorado. So I started applying. I found this beautiful place. I checked out the website. It looked great. I saw, you know, the nice courtyards. I saw some fun golf carts. So, I don't know, golf carts really win me over with anything. So that might have been the main reason I first applied. But then, you know, April got back to me. We worked out that I was going to come visit to do an interview in person right after my internship. So my internship finished. It was New Year's Eve. Then I believe I was supposed to come the 2nd to the 5th. So I leave the 2nd, you know, that morning. I make it to the Westminster area where my buddy lives. So, you know, he's going to host me for the next 2 nights while I'm here for my interview. And about, you know, a block and a half, maybe 2 blocks away from my buddy's apartment, you know, I see my temp gauge start lighting up, you know, going crazy. And then I think, you know what, that's nothing to worry about. So I keep on driving, but, you know, then I start to see smoke come up from under my hood, and I think, oh, no. But luckily, I was able to make it to my buddy's house. You know, I tell him to come on out. I pop my hood. Just a ton of smoke comes out. I say, you know what? This just needs to cool down for a while. So me and my buddy, we get some coolant from a, I don't know, local AutoZone or something. Come back. I fill her up. And then I just leave the car. You know, it's January. It's going to cool down eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, me and my friend hang out for the rest of the night. I wake up in the morning to go to the interview. Car is running fine, I think. Just a little fluke. And then as I'm pulling into the Holly Creek parking lot, uh-oh, start to see some more smoke come out from under my hood. But I think, you know what, an interview should take about an hour. That's enough time for the car to cool down. So luckily that was enough time for the car to cool down. So, you know, I get back into it. I start headed back to Westminster. And I'm bad at exit names, but that exit that has the Carvana glass thing that has the cars stacked, right about there, you know, temp gauge starts going off again. hood starts smoking, so I have to pull over. I park in some insurance parking lot, and, you know, I pop the hood, but all the coolant I had just filled into it had exploded all over the hood, so it was all hot, all gross. I end up calling a mobile mechanic, say, hey, man, so this is what is happening with my car, and just, you know, before I can even really finish what I'm saying about my car, he says, buddy, right now, I can already tell, it's a blown gasket. It's, you know, beginning of January, I'm not going to go out to your car right now and fix your blown gasket. You're going to have to get it towed. So I said, that is not what I want to hear. Because about now at this time, we're getting into rush hour traffic, so I have to call up a tow company. They come, they get my car, and then it takes, I don't know, like an hour 20 just to get to the auto shop I want in Westminster. And we finally get there. This nice Russian man, he comes out. He says, oh, we know your problem with your car. And I'm like, okay. But he wants to show me. I've never had this. So I had to sit with the mechanic while he started my car, waited for it to heat up, to overheat, actually. And then he told me to start touching on all these tubes in the car. And he said, you know what? It's not heating up fast enough. Let's take a test drive. So, you know, I'm sitting in the driver's side of my car. I said, all right, you can hop in. He said, no, I drive. So I get out of the car, sit in the passenger seat. He hops in, just immediately takes my car to like 90 miles per hour. And then says, oh, you see, there you go. It's overheating. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, going 90 real quick. But yeah, he ended up showing me what was wrong. My buddy ended up picking me up. And I said, hey, man, so, you know, how long do we think this is going to be? Because, you know, I'm supposed to leave tomorrow. So he said, probably not. I'll call you. So me and my buddy end up hanging out again. April wanted to see me the next day because the initial interview had gone really well. So I said, April, my car's a little messed up now, but I can Uber there. Blah, blah, blah. I end up Ubering to Holly Creek once again just for my interview. I think it went really well. She said she'll let me know how it goes. But now, you know, I'm still in Colorado. I don't have a car. So my buddy and I, we made the most of it. We ended up going to a Denver Nuggets game that Saturday because, you know, they were holding my car. And that was my first NBA game, so yeah, made the most of it. Sunday came along, and luckily, wait, was it Sunday? I think it was Sunday really late at night they finally called me and said, hey, your car is actually done. I had someone come and work through the weekend for it. Thank you to the AutoZone. I mean, to the auto shop up in Westminster. But yeah, Monday morning, I decided to get the car. But if you remember, you know, that first week-ish, week and a half of January last year, we had a big old snowstorm blow through Omaha, blow through the whole Midwest, essentially. So that started the day, you know, I finally get my car and I have to leave. And then a little background to the story as well. I, kind of foolish, totally forgot that my mom had a plan to leave for Mexico that Sunday. So I had expected to be home by then, but unfortunately I was not able to. So my dog had to be left alone for, you know, like a day and a half kind of. I did have a buddy come to let her out, but, you know, still a long time to be left alone.
That's a long time.
So, you know, obviously that's in my head now. I'm like, I have to get back to get to my dog. My buddy's girlfriend, she's telling me, Rick, you can wait one more day here if you want. I know the snowstorm is going to be a lot. I said, I'm going to beat the snowstorm. So I leave at about 8 a.m. to try to go the Kansas way to get under the snowstorm because I think that might work. But about an hour away from the, you know, border of Kansas, I believe, just snow starts coming down, and then I can't see not even 5 feet in front of me. So then me and three other cars are kind of in a little caravan just looking for the next exit. Gosh. We get off. There's a hotel, and we all have to, you know, spend the night there. And, you know, I'm pretty bored because at this point it's only like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
What are you going to do?
I have not been driving that long. So now I'm just waiting there. Luckily, they had the college football national championship game that night, so I was able to watch that. The McDonald's next door was still open, so I was able to get some food, but
great.
I promised myself, first thing in the morning, I have to leave, I have to get to my dog. So 6 a.m. comes, I wake up, I get everything packed, I'm ready to leave, and I check my phone. All the interstates are still closed because of the blizzard. So I think, well, that's not going to stop me. So I just start going from, yeah, you know, an hour away from the border, Kansas. I'm in Colorado, and I just start going north, northeast, and just going all high, I mean, country
interstates,
country backways, or highways, or whatever, just to get to, you know, any part of Nebraska where I can get to an actual interstate. And oh my goodness, that is the worst type of travel ever. There was one point where my GPS told me to go through a fully unplowed farmer's kind of road, and I thought, I mean, if this is the only way, I mean, I guess I have to. So I start driving, and I start to feel my car, you know, start to get a little stuck. I say, oh, I can't do this right now, because I just stepped outside of my car to, you know, use the restroom, and the wind was coming fast as heck. It felt like it was probably like negative 10 degrees out, but it was one of those days where not a cloud's in the sky, sun's just beating down on you, but it's just cold, just real, real cold. So I knew I couldn't get out of the car. I knew I couldn't get my car stuck. So while it started to get stuck, I just started reversing and going forward. And luckily, my snow tires on the car really did the job, and I got through that real thick area. And then finally, I start to see kind of one of those on-ramp type of roads. You have some small stores to the left and right of you. I think I made it. I'm in the clear. I get on the interstate, but then I start hearing a kutuku kutuku, you know, just something banging. I think, oh, no, that can't be good. So I pull over, and I check my wheel wells, and they're just all covered in ice and snow, just, you know, rubbing against my tires. I have to beat it off, and, you know, this is just a back-and-forth thing for the next 3 to 4 hours. I finally get to Omaha, and it just keeps on happening. I'm like losing my mind at this point. Mm-hmm. It's just too much noise. Too many things have gone wrong at this point. And then I once again stop, break it off. But then at this point, you know, there's no ice in my wheel well when I stop, but I keep on hearing that kutuga kutuga. And I think, you know what? I'm just going to make it home. So it's about 2.5 hours from Omaha to Des Moines. I just drive the full 2 hours just hearing something in my car just smacking on something else. When I finally get home, you know, I park it in the garage, let my dog out. There was a big mess I had to clean up, but I was just finally happy to see her. But then that's when the real big snowstorm hit Des Moines, and then my car was just fully stuck in the garage for, I think, like a week and a half. Like, I couldn't go anywhere, and the apartment company didn't do anything of shoveling or anything, so I was just stuck in the townhome while my mom was, you know, in Mexico, and I'm just with my dog.
Rick, this sounds like such a nightmare.
It is such a nightmare.
So when did you tell April you would take the job?
Well, that happened about a month and a half later. Then she finally emailed me. She said, hey, I'm down to my last 3 people. But I think, you know, you probably have a good shot. I said, ooh, I really hope I have a good shot. And then I think a week after that, she finally emailed me the acceptance letter, the offer letter. And I said, yeah, of course, I have to.
But you'll come in the spring.
I'll come in the spring. But yeah, no, I think if, you know, I were real in touch with spirituality and vibes, mm-hmm, and everything, mm-hmm, I definitely would turn this job down, because that was a whole
lot of
bad things.
What was it telling you?
Yeah. A whole lot of bad omens coming at me to say, do not take this job. But you know what? I still thought the view and scenery of everything here was beautiful. I love Colorado. I knew my dog would enjoy it in the long run, so I accepted the job.
Well, I'm so glad you did. And you knew from past experience that we don't have that bad of a snowstorm.
It
will clear up the next day.
It's mainly Midwest stuff. I'm done with the Midwest winters. As long as, you know, you don't have negative 20 degrees and just, you know, 4 feet of snow, I'm happy. I'll deal with it.
Oh, well, it's just wonderful you made that decision.
Thank you.
After all you went through. And one of the first, well, maybe it wasn't the first, you got here in April.
Yes.
And we didn't have the regatta.
You did not have the regatta, no.
Yet. That wasn't your first thing. But you helped April revive, thankfully, that old tradition.
Yeah, no, that was one of my first big projects April had for me. And she said, you know, we haven't done it since 2018, 2019. I know the residents really enjoyed it, but, you know, I was just overdoing it. But, you know, now that you're here, if you'd like, you can revitalize the regatta if you, you know, choose to do so. And I did choose to do so, and I think it went pretty well.
Well, you saw the turnout. People love it. Yeah.
I was just shocked at how much money we raised so quickly. You know, I've been a part of some fundraisers, but I've never really been, you know, the real event manager for anything. So, you know, it felt good to, you know, plan something and then have all that money be raised.
Did you believe they could make a boat out of cardboard and
tape? I did not believe that they could. And I'll be honest, I believe that most of the boats were going to turn out like Tammy's, you know, just immediate sinking, falling over. But I was super impressed with, you know, Lindsay, the Cybertruck one, dining, of course. So it was just a really fun experience.
You mentioned Cybertruck.
Oh, yeah.
You talked about that yesterday when we talked to you. Didn't know what you're talking about. Tell us what that is.
That was Michelle's design for, you know, her boat, the administration
yes,
one. So
yes.
That's kind of what they based it off of. But, yeah, no, I just brought it up with you the other day because my mom didn't know what they were either. And we were going shopping when she had visited. So I took her to the Tesla store and, you know, showed her all about what the truck is and what those cars are about.
I think many of us here would have no idea.
Well, I feel like if you ever see a very geometrically shaped large truck, you know, on the roads while you're driving, that is a Cybertruck, and it's fully electric, and it has a real funky steering wheel.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to look, keep my eyes open.
Does it look like a boat?
It kind of looks like a boat, if I'm being, if you just took off the wheels. It kind of looks amphibious, but I think, you know, it's real heavy, so it might just end up sinking. So maybe don't take your Cybertruck into the water, but if you make a Cybertruck out of cardboard, then it'll last two rounds, I think.
Well, you've started some other things here. Tell us about how you do it. How do you set up Jeopardy, for instance?
So, I don't know. I've always been a fan of game shows. Mm-hmm. I know that this population also likes to watch game shows. It's a popular thing to play, you know, during the daytime. But I've always also really enjoyed kind of like playing a role as a host, you know.
Oh.
Hey, everybody. You know, kind of be a little, I don't know.
Organized
thematic.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's good.
So when April, you know, kind of gives you a lot of freedom to do stuff for programs, like she does, I'm really thankful for that. I decided Jeopardy could be fun, so I found a really cool template online to, you know, make the Jeopardy board. But then it's just kind of all up to me to figure out the questions, figure out the categories, and it's just really fun to see all the residents, you know, answering questions that while I'm typing them up, I'd have no idea what the answers are, but you guys just pull it out. So it's just really fun to see that.
And you mentioned that they really like sing-alongs.
Oh, yeah. The assisted living residents I've found really enjoy sing-alongs. So singing any 50s or 60s songs, we'll pull up the lyrics on YouTube. And a lot of them are nice and listen to me sing, but if they want to join in too, you know, I'm happy to hear them as well.
You have a program started last week, but it continues tomorrow.
Oh, yes, our 12 Angry Men lecture program. So that one's really fun tomorrow. I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, if you do choose to come, we're going to start class by breaking down the homework that was assigned, you know, given out last week. Just discuss it, you know, figure out your opinions on what characters you think you align with more. And then we're going to go into historical context. We're going to talk about the characters a little bit. And then we're even going to touch on the director, Sidney Lumet, and just a little bit about his background, his film style. And, yeah, it should be fun.
Well, come along and find out all the things that Rick can do. Tomorrow is going to be another adventure of this new program.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Excited to hear. Rick, thank you so much for being here at Holly Creek. Thank you for doing the radio with us.
Well, thank you for
having
me.
It's been great.
I appreciate
Next week, Sandy will have more to talk about because she's a little frustrated not being able to ask some questions.
Well, she interviewed me very well yesterday, so if you guys would have heard that, you'd be very impressed.
And that's Wanderings for today. Thank you so much, Rick, for being with us.
Thank you.
Set on by